If you gathered a bunch of historians, religious or not, they would agree that there once walked a man named Jesus, a real guy. He lived in Galilee, was killed by Romans, and his followers carried on after his death. But 2,000 plus years later, those are the only facts they could all agree on. But for a person as consequential as Jesus, how do we fill in the rest? And what does that picture say about ourselves? So prepare yourself for some serious questions and some not so serious questions. Like,
if Jesus had a favorite joke, what would it be?
Hey, pull my finger.
My name is Javi Zubizarreta, and welcome to Jesus's Favorite Podcast, a show where we explore the many ways we can understand one of the most important figures in history. Does Jesus have a sense of humor? Does God laugh? Does he laugh at us or with us? To find out, we reached out to Will McDaniel. Will is a comedian and magician, or gospel illusionist, as he puts it. He performs religious magic and comedy for churches, family groups, and more all across the country. Well, Will McDaniel, comedian, gospel illusionist, thank you so much for joining with us today.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
Well, great. So as we were doing a little bit of research on you, I saw a video of you with a Bible that was on fire in front of a group of screaming children. And at first, it got me a little alarmed about who exactly are we inviting into this podcast. Could you tell me a little bit about what it is to be a gospel illusionist and maybe what I was watching there with you with a burning Bible?
Absolutely. First thing is a gospel illusionist is what I call myself, because if you say you're a magician, a lot of times when you go into churches, people are like, you know, oh, magic, that's of the devil. We can't have you here. So what they don't realize is that I try to use the sleight of hand illusion techniques that I do. Mm-hmm. I use a lot of props, a lot of self-working magic, self-working, if you want to call them almost object lessons. A lot of those are. Now, the fire Bible, what I like to do is there's a rule in comedy that a sudden left turn, or if you pull the rug out from underneath somebody, those are the best jokes. So one of the things I do is I pull out a book that looks like a Bible, and I have it sitting over here beside me if you'd like to see it.
I would love to.
This is a Bible. It's a simple Bible, right? And it's just a real simple Bible because God's word's very clear. It says you can go to heaven.
Audio note, at this point, Will showed me his prop Bible. Looks like a regular Bible, but when he opened the cover, a big flame would jump out.
Right there. That's what it says. Now, yeah. People always ask me, it's like, how did you do that? Living translation.
Word on fire.
Yeah, so that's it, man. So my fire Bible is... Yeah. Classic. It is. People.
It's real fire.
It's real fire. It is real fire.
Speaking of Jesus, we have a list of rapid fire questions here.
Yes.
And we're going to have several of these throughout this interview. And
okay.
I want to make clear there's no right or wrong answer here. Mm-hmm. It's just going to reveal some things, get the conversation going. So I'm going to ask these questions. Give me the first thing that comes to your mind, and we'll go from there. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. Here we go. First off, if Jesus had a favorite ice cream flavor, what would it be?
Rocky Road.
If Jesus had a favorite movie, what would it be?
If Jesus had a favorite movie, what would it be? Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci. All right. If Jesus had a favorite season, which season would it be?
Spring.
Would Jesus be a dog person, cat person, or a plant person?
Oh, he's definitely a cat person.
Okay. If Jesus came to your house, what would you offer him to drink?
Water in a wine glass.
There you go. If Jesus had a favorite sports team, which team would it be?
Oh, the Angels.
Okay. All right. What would Jesus's coffee order be?
Oh, it would be double double shot of caffeine in a like a iced coffee.
Okay. And what's your coffee order?
I don't drink coffee.
Okay.
So all right. That's why I was stumbling on that last one.
Sure.
Trying to think what's the last thing my wife ordered. I can't remember.
Yeah. All right. Would Jesus be an Apple or an Android user?
Oh, he definitely would be an Apple user, but he would definitely tell people not to bite it.
Okay.
Took you a minute, but you got that one.
All right. And then finally for this section, in one word, who is Jesus to you?
My best friend.
How did you come to be a Christian comedian, gospel illusionist? How did that journey start for you?
Man, I've been a smart aleck my entire life. And some friends of mine were going to a men's function, a religious mm-hmm. men's function called Promise Keepers. I don't know if you've ever mm-hmm. heard of it. Mm-hmm. But I was having one of the worst weeks of my life when it comes to my employment at the time. I was on the road. I was training medical mm-hmm. software, extremely mm-hmm. challenging, away from my home. You know, it's never fun when you have to work and have a family at home and trying to balance work-life schedule. Things were tough. And mm-hmm. I told my wife, I said, I'm actually going to sit at home and I'm going to contemplate whether I go back to work on Monday or not. And she goes, oh, no, you're not. I bought you a ticket to Promise Keepers and you're going. So I went to Promise Keepers. And when I did, my best friend, Ken Taylor, was with me. And we were there together and we watched. We went through this praise and worship with all these men. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I heard the messages. They were amazing. Newsboys was there. They were amazing. Mm-hmm. But there was a guy there named Brad Stein, who was a Christian comedian, and he mm-hmm. started telling his jokes. And I mean, I was just howling. I was just loving the whole time. And I'm, as you can tell, I'm extremely reserved. And I was just laughing, having the greatest time. And I told my buddy who was sitting next to me, I'm like, dude, I could do what he's doing. I could get up and tell jokes. He looked at me. He goes, no, you couldn't. Yeah. I'm like, Ken, what are you talking about? He goes, dude, you couldn't do that. You laugh at your own jokes. I'm like, yeah, because they're funny, man. Come on. So so I started writing some stuff down, and he told me, he goes, man, if you're going to tell jokes, you better start writing them down because you can't remember nothing. I'm like, okay. So I started making some little things. And then on the back of my business card, I have a little thing that I wrote that is, if Dr. Seuss wrote the Bible, what would it sound like? And it's like, I am the God they call I am. I am the God of Abraham. I do not like it when you sin. I do not like it deep within. I do not like it in the spring or when you have a wild fling. I do not like it in the summer when you sin. It is a bummer. I do not like it in the fall. I do not like your sin at all. Now, I could get that, couldn't you?
Yeah. Makes a little more sense, yeah.
That's it. And I mean, that's just the way I look at life from a simple standpoint of, you know, it's not how can I insert God into my life, but how mm-hmm. can I? How could I take a life that God has prepared for me and live mm-hmm. it to the fullest and just live it so that he would be proud of me? And at the end of the day, he just says, nice job, and sign off on the day for me.
Yeah. So let me ask you, as you're trying to start a comedy career, trying to direct it towards your faith, what did you first find funny about faith?
You know, I grew up in church. So mm-hmm. I grew up with a drug problem. Mm-hmm. I was drugged to church every Sunday. So I found a lot of stuff that people would do in church and a lot of things that people would do out of church really paralleled a lot of times. And so many people would say, I don't want to go to church because of this. Well, you know, those are the same reasons we do everything. I don't want to go to church. You're going to ask for money. Well, you better stop going to the supermarket. You know, I don't want to go to the, I don't want to go to somewhere. There's hypocrites here. Yeah. Go to a gym. How many of those people are all in shape? You know, I haven't. So, I mean, a lot of the things that we look at and we give excuses mm-hmm. to in life are the same excuses we'll, you know, hold God to at even a higher standard. But mm-hmm. the things that I thought were funny is as a kid, I mean, I had this sense of humor that was just, you know, out of the box weird. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought, you know, when I get to heaven, I want to wrap my arms around Jesus, and Jesus is going to look around and go, hey, pull my finger. And I'm going to pull, you know, I'm going to pull Jesus' finger, and thunder's going to go off. You know, that's the kind of Jesus that I serve, man. So, I mean, how do I find this funny? It's like, how can we not? I look in the mirror every day and go, Lord, you didn't have much to work with, but look what you did. This is all right. So, I mean, it's just every day we got to find things that make us happy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, is what our Bible says. Mm-hmm. And if we can't, even in the hardest of times, I mean, there are certain things you look at, you can't laugh at the time, but you give it some time and you give it enough prayer and enough time and enough, you know, enough distance from the actual situation. And we can look at things and laugh, you know, I mean, at the time, it may not seem funny, but give it some time. God is always good.
So that is a powerful and beautiful image of pulling Jesus's finger and thunder going off. In your head, when you make the image of Jesus as a person, because we know he walked the earth at some point, who is that person to you? What is that person like to you?
You know, that is the kind of person that would walk up beside me, and he would be the kind of person that would put his arm around you because he wants to touch you, because he wants to be physical. He wants you to feel that, hey, I'm here. And I care, and I care about you. He would be the kind of person that when you're talking to him, you have his undivided attention. I mean, he's the guy that is focused on what you're saying. He could repeat back to you the conversation, but he's also the guy that as you're talking to him, as far as you let him go is as far as he will go. So it brings me to the story of he's walking after the crucifixion. He's walking with the two disciples that are unnamed, and they're walking on the road. And Jesus says, "Why are you guys upset?" They're like, "Dude, are you the only one not from Jerusalem? Come on, man. Do you not know what just happened?" Jesus starts to tell them about himself. And it's like, didn't something inside of us start burning because of him? And I believe Jesus would be like, "Hey, Will, is that a new phone? Is that a new Apple phone? They don't keep talking to you." And then he'd be like, "Hey, you want to show me all the photos in your phone?" Oh. And then he starts getting personal. "Hey, can I see your Facebook? What have you commented on? I mean, he wouldn't be, you know, give me that phone. I'm going to, you're evil, blah, 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 blah." No, it's not like that. Jesus would be the gentleman. He would be the friend that's beside you that would be encouraging and be always clapping for you, always in your corner. And even if you were wrong, he'd be the kind of guy that says, "Hey, man, here's my hand. Let me help you up. Let me get you up. You put your back against my back. I've got your back. We'll see this through to the end." That's how I picture Jesus. And I do picture him as I don't picture him with a man bun. I don't see that, you know, but I see Jesus kind of pulling his hair back over his ears and looking at you, and maybe doing one of these with his goatee, and maybe even have a rubber band around it. It's a couple inches long. Sure. You got it kind of. That's my kind of Jesus right there, you know.
Yeah. That image of Jesus as someone very friendly, very personable. How has that been formed in your life? Where has that image come from in your experience of either your comedy or just everyday life?
Man, that is a great question. I have a wife who is amazing. Unconditional love. The first time I've ever had that in my life was from my wife. A lot of other times you had to earn it from other people and live to a certain standard, whatever. Not with her. She's just loves unconditionally, just amazing woman. Growing up as a kid, when I first became a Christian, I had a best friend. His name was Pete. Pete was the same way. Pete was a strong Christian, but it wasn't like it was a love, acceptance, that brotherly love that they talk about, you know, just, man, strong bonds and having good Christian friends around you that can support you and help you and talk to you. Man, it has to be there. Jesus had 13 friends, you know, they were walking with him, talking with him. And I don't say 12, I say 13. Because, you know, Lazarus died and brought him back, so I don't know if we can count him. But Mary and Martha was there, and the other 11, the 12th one. When I get 12 friends, somebody got to go. Okay. So ranch out.
Well, they did with Jesus.
So. Exactly. So, that's it, man.
That unconditional love very much speaks to what you said, that someone would come to you without any hesitation or without any condemnation. It strikes me that as someone who's gospel illusionist and comedian, you're trying to make things that are traditionally very serious lighter, Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as needing to make Christianity a little less serious about itself, or to not, or for Christians to not take themselves so seriously when trying to spread the word of Jesus?
As a Christian, if you can't laugh at yourself, I mean, I've had a lot of people come to my comedy shows, and now mm-hmm. granted, I do shows all over, all denominations, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff, and I've had people that have come up and be like, I'm a Christian, and I'm sure. so happy. You need to tell yeah. your face, okay? You're yeah. not that happy. If you're happy, smile. You know, if you're yeah. happy, tell somebody you love them. Yeah. Be a little bit more tolerant when it comes to a child running through the church.
Mm.
Jesus would have chased them into church. I mean, I don't think he'd have been chasing them to say no. He would have been having them running and playing and having. Imagine a church with no children there.
Sure.
Half of our churches today don't have little kids running around. That's a tragedy. We need mm-hmm. kids to be in church and go from there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So some more rapid fire questions for you here.
Yes, right. sir.
All right. If Jesus had a favorite comedian, who would it be?
Will McDaniel.
Okay. What's the funniest part of the Bible to you?
Oh, it's got to be Genesis. The way he created stuff, got to be Genesis.
Okay. If you had to tell Jesus one joke, what would it be?
Oh, I would tell him to pull my finger joke, because I like to tell jokes right at people.
Okay. All right. Do you think Jesus would prefer improv or stand up?
Oh, Jesus loves improv, because if you look at the way he interacted with the Sadducees and Pharisees and, you know, the overseas, man, he did it all.
All right. Would Jesus, who, as you mentioned earlier, turned water to wine, would he be impressed by magic tricks?
You know, I think that he would laugh and applaud and then clap. And then mm-hmm. what I would do is I would do the fire Bible trick and open my book and mm-hmm. fire would come out. He would mm-hmm. open a book and call fire down from heaven, be like, could you do that one? Great, thanks. You know.
All right,
golf,
and then
you play golf with him. He hits a ball and it walks across the water, all across the pond, gets on the green. I'm like, really? Seriously? You cheated.
All right. Are miracles magic and are jokes miracles?
Yes, to both. And the reason that I will say that is because laughter doth a heart good like medicine. That's what the Bible mm-hmm. says. And I do mm-hmm. believe that laughing and joking affects your body. They say that mm-hmm. laughing every single day does like 10 minutes of jogging to your heart, mm-hmm. which, I mean, I wish it would do to your body, because, man, I'd be ripped at this point. But, you know, they say that laughter is the best medicine. Being happy, the things that stress and the depression, those kind of things, mm-hmm. the effect that they have on the body and they have that on the mind, they have on your life total across the board. So is joy a miracle? It can be. It definitely mm-hmm. can be, because I do believe the joy of the Lord is our strength. I believe that God is in joy. If you've ever been somewhere and you're laughing and having a really good time and time flies, I believe mm-hmm. that's what it's going to kind of feel like in heaven, because the mm-hmm. time is you will not be there and we will be enjoying that so much. Are mm-hmm. miracles jokes? And if you're switching that question around a little bit, you know what? It's got to be a joke the way, from God's perspective. And here's why. Mm-hmm. And in our Psalms, in Psalms 2:4, it says, he who is enthroned in the heavens laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, you know, God laughs at the plans that man makes. When we make plans ourselves to do something, God must be like, hey, Gabriel, come here. Look at what they're trying to do. Yeah, watch this. And he just... when God does a miracle means there's no explanation for it. They can't mm-hmm. explain. Why does someone go in with cancer and God heals them on the spot? Why do they say when there's no chance of someone getting pregnant, they get pregnant and they end up having children? Why do they say when people look at you, it's like, oh, you'll never amount to anything. You've made mistakes. You've done this. And then God gives them an opportunity to redeem themselves and they go on to produce and become productive citizens. That's a mm-hmm. miracle, you know?
Yeah.
Taking a guy like me who is a sinner, you know, bound for hell, and given an opportunity to share the gospel, share the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to people all over the United States and in different countries around the world. How is that possible? It's a miracle.
Yeah. You're a man of conviction, a man of jokes. Was there a time in your life when you were perhaps neither of those things?
Yes. And both of them were at the same time. Before I wanted to be a comedian, a lot rougher around the edges. I just as soon poke at you, make fun at you, be angry with you as I would to talk to you. A man of my convictions. If I could talk you into doing something for me, manipulate you, work the system, do those things, I would do those. And I was much younger then and a lot more naive. Growing older, having an amazing family, having amazing friends, having things around me the way that they are. I look back at the man I was, and that is a miracle. I'm not him. I'm not who I used to be. And then a lot of people, one of the things that they, you just asked the question, who were you before you were transformed? That is a question. When some people hear that, they get very afraid. Afraid of that, because now all of a sudden they're expecting, like, well, this was the bad person, but here's the good person so far up high on the pedestal, I'll never fall off that pedestal. This is my definition of religion. And I mean, this again, this is coming from a comedian. I know who to run to when I fall down. Because I'm gonna fall down. If you put me on a pedestal and you hang around with me long enough, you let me drive in the Walmart parking lot, I'm gonna lose it. Okay, that is just not right. Okay, so putting someone up there and not giving them room to be human, being an actual person, that's tough. But I know who to run to when I fall down, and that's my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's an advocate to the Father. You know, he speaks to us. He speaks to God on our behalf every day.
What do you say to folks, you know, who look at faith with a question mark, right? And with an uncertainty, who look at religion and say, not for me, for various reasons. Jokes can build bridges. I think that's something that you put in your bio of something you like to do. How do you start that conversation? How do you try to build that bridge?
You're right. You're absolutely 100% right. Religion is a crutch. Religion is for people who are weak. I totally agree, because religion is for me, and I wouldn't even say that I'm weak. I would say I'm a disaster. I'm the one that looks at my life and says, this is not where I should be. And because of that, I need an answer. If you have all of the answers and you believe that, then you're not going to look for an answer. You're not going to look for the answer. And there are people that, oh, religion is not for me. Because, you know, have you seen the little fish, the little ichthus fish in the back of people's cars?
Sure.
You see, and it identifies them as a Christian. Have you seen the one that's got the little feet on it with says Darwin in it?
Sure.
So people's like, oh no, the truth is that we evolved. Well, I've seen one recently that has the Darwin fish being swallowed up by an ichthus fish that has the word truth in it. Because as a Christian, we want to rip their heads off. You know, nothing says I love you like a good fight, you know? Why get in an argument with someone who's already got their mind made up instead of looking at them and saying, you know what? I was in your shoes once. I didn't think I needed Jesus. But then I found out my life was in shambles. And when I gave my life to Christ, these are the things that happened to me. These are the things he lined up for me in my life. This is how he made my life better. And and if you're not at that point, that's okay with me. And when you can tell somebody you love them instead of trying to shove Christianity down their throat. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people that want to share the gospel, but sometimes they're a little rigid and they're a little tough on other people. If we would give them grace and let them have a collision with God that they need to have, we will see better results as a church.
Sure. Yeah, that's great.
Yep.
In your reading of the Bible and of Jesus's teachings and parables and so forth, what do you think's the funniest joke or the funniest thing Jesus says in the Bible?
I think the funniest thing that Jesus says in the entire Bible is when he's talking with the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler, he says, "Hey Jesus, what do I got to do to inherit the kingdom?" Because we know that this is a rich kid. We know that he's probably lived a favored, pampered life, and everything's been given to him. Now, how do I get you to give me eternal life? And Jesus just turned at him and said, hey, you need to keep the commandments, you know? And then the rich young ruler says, hey, I've kept all these since my youth. I would think that the next verse would be, Jesus went, you're serious? You're telling me you kept them? Lying through your teeth, boy.
Yeah.
But when Jesus starts to tell him, you know what? Sell everything you got. Give up what's been given to you. Come follow me. And when you come follow me, you'll realize the things that you've given up aren't the things that you wanted in the first place. And the thing that you wanted the most was eternal life. But every one of those people that are around him had to be laughing because their whole thought patterns, if you're rich, you're going to heaven. When Jesus tells these stories, there was a rich man who went to heaven and Lazarus went, you know, or the rich man went to hell and Lazarus, you know, was having his wounds licked by the dogs. He went to heaven. It's a total turnaround. It's a total turn upside down. And I think there's a lot of stuff that Jesus would do that would be like turn the water into wine. And people are like, what just happened? And, you know, it's like, wow. And I mean, could you imagine Jesus doing impressions? Man, they'd be spot on, you know? Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are things that Jesus would do, I'm sure, that would just blow our minds because our mindset is seeing him walking with a halo. You know, I could, okay, if that's what you want, I could see Jesus be like, hey, Peter, go deep. You know, just that's the kind of Jesus I think that suffer the little children to come to me, man. That's the connection. When we realize that coming to Jesus is being like a kid and everything is new, everything's exciting, everything is different again, man, that's the key. That is the key.
Hmm. Yeah. When we lose that sense of humor, that sense of wonder, that sense of joy,
yes.
Jesus and faith and God become pretty stale.
Yeah. Sadly. True.
Yeah. All right. I got a final section of rapid fire questions
here
for you. All right. If you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be?
Why do I have a sister?
Okay. If Jesus looked at you, how would you describe his look?
Surprised. He'd probably look at my hairline and go, wow, I don't have to count very many hairs there.
All right. When is Jesus closest to you?
When is Jesus closest to me?
No.
When I fall down.
All right. Does God laugh?
All the time. Every morning when we crawl out of bed, he sees the hair he gave us from the night before. I'm sure he's laughing.
All right. Final question. If Jesus had a favorite podcast, what would it be?
Oh, Jesus' favorite podcast.
That's not, you don't have to say that.
But I'm gonna.
Well, thank you. We'll put that on the blurb for Apple Podcasts later.
There you go.
Well, Will, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for talking to us. This has been an absolute blast.
Absolutely. Man, sure. It has been an honor and a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.
Hope I blessed you. You've been with great. Some of my answers, man. I hope that we get lots of people to listen to the podcast and it just goes viral for you. I'm so thankful.
You can learn more about Will McDaniel, his shows, and how to book him at willmcdaniel.com. His email is will@willmcdaniel.com, and he's on Facebook at Will's Comedy, Will McDaniel.
This episode of Jesus' Favorite Podcast was hosted by Javi Zubizarreta and produced by me, Ebony Moxie, senior producer Josh Long. Grotto Network is Adrian Giraldi, social media manager, Becky Rogers, art director, Kara Kenujeski, project manager, Ebony Moxie, audio storytelling associate, Jackie Cho, platform storytelling associate, Jane O'Connor, associate video producer, Javi Zubizarreta, director, Jesse McCartney, senior content editor, Josh Long, senior video producer, Kevin DeClute, video producer, Michaela Douglas, digital content strategist, Mike Rossetti, Senior Manager for Community Engagement. Father Brendan McClaire, Associate Producer. Ryan Brossard, Student Media Assistant. Special thanks to our guests and Notre Dame Studios. Did you like what you heard today? Please share Jesus' Favorite Podcast with a friend. Also, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram at Grotto Network.
And I didn't know she put that much fluid in it. So I held up the Bible vertically and I went, does anybody know what this is? Not realizing that that lighter fluid had just ran down my hand and all down my arm.
Oh, no.
I opened the Bible. I light it up and it goes, biggest flame ever.
Yeah.
And I'm putting it out and I'm putting it out and I close the book and I just like, ugh. And of course, you've got one kid right there in the front goes, do it again, do it again, do it again.